Hezbollah also makes me think of the issue of one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter, or another woman's freedom fighter.
I mean, the definition, that's the other piece of this, because you had asked about what is a terrorist group. Under the USA Patriot Act, there's both domestic and now domestic as well as foreign terrorist groups, and the definition's a little bit different, but for a foreign group, you don't even have, an individual can be called, I mean, you can, like, be involved in nuclear weapons and you could be a terrorist, but I always look at what's the least you could do and go on this list, and the least you can do and be called a terrorist is threaten to do property damage intended to intimidate a government or a populace. Well, think about demonstrations. You got a demonstration, you got a bunch of people, and maybe there's a police car there, and somebody says, I want to go slash that police car tire because I'm angry at the government of X country. And maybe they do slash the police tire, or maybe somebody, you know, breaks a window. You know, you can certainly argue it's an intimidating kind of act. Well, that one individual who may well not have the authority of the whole group, that one individual is a terrorist by the definition of both the 96 and the USA Patriot Acts. And the group, the whole group that they're with, could be a terrorist organization. Well, the problem here is that this definition is ridiculously broad. You've got thousands of groups around the world and hundreds of groups in the U.S. that fit that definition. And so the government is going to necessarily make choices. It's not going to say, well, anybody who does this is all automatically a terrorist group. It's ridiculous. They end up with thousands of groups and a complete impossibility of doing anything. Instead, they pick and choose. And the way that they're going to be able to pick and choose tends to be, as you said, who do we like? Who do we, the U.S. government, like today? And so you're going to end up in a situation like El Salvador and Nicaragua saying, we like the Contras and we don't like the FMLN, so the FMLN's a terrorist group and the Contras are perfectly nice, even though their activity arguably is somewhat similar. They're both engaged in violent activity and peaceful activity. So because it becomes a political decision, it becomes inherently unfair. You know, if you limited it, if you said, the guys that are involved in really bad, you know, bad actor, violent, horrible acts, those guys, you know, they're terrorists and their group is a terrorist group. And the ones who were involved in committing the terrorist acts are the ones we want to go after. You know, the guys who did the, you know, who ran into the World Trade Center, you know, there's no argument here, you know, with anybody that the guys who did that and planned that, those acts have been against the law as long as there's been a law. And you should certainly expend as much energy as you can to try to stop that kind of activity. If you're focused instead on all the groups, all the people that are members of all the groups that you call terrorists, instead of focusing in on who are the people who are doing the really bad acts, you dilute yourself. You dilute law enforcement, you're less effective, and you end up throwing this really wide net where you're getting at people who, because of their politics, and not because they're engaged in criminal activity. So what I've always argued is that's really where the government has gone wrong on this stuff, is that instead of criminalizing groups, they should just look at the acts. The groups that are involved in the violent acts, look at them and look at the people in the groups that are doing those violent acts. You know, distinguish between schools and hospitals and clinics and orphanages and cut out the violent activity.